Today is the third Sunday of Advent, also called Gaudete Sunday. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Some of you may know we've been, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, on and off, suffering different types of sicknesses. And so because of that, we will not have benediction this evening. And so we will have, if everything goes correctly, we will have the O antiphon. We'll talk about that more in a moment. And that will be at 7:45, meaning you watch it online. You do not come here for that. So if you are able to see that, and we have it at that time, you can pray the O antiphon with us. You would think, and some people would think, because there are 5 priests here and 2 seminarians, well, how can you be shorthanded here? One priest is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. 1 seminarian is down. Another one is recovering. So one of the laymen from the group here went with Father Simons up to Cheyenne to help the Catholics up there that are very appreciative to have one Mass a month. So, and then a couple of the other priests are recovering or coming down with it. But Father Ward is the healthiest. He's just fine, which is great. I'm glad for that. So this Monday, tomorrow, after the 8:30 Mass, we'll have the cleaning of the chapel. And then remind you that there are the Ember Days this week. Now those are, as we've mentioned before, the Wednesday, the Saturday, Friday and Saturday, 4 times a year. And they are the Christianizing of the pagans who would, 3 or 4 times a year, they would thank their gods, their higher beings, whatever, for the harvest, for good fortune. So the church in the earliest century, about 150 years after the apostles, the Pope instituted the Ember Days. So they have that note of thanksgiving to God for his gifts, but also they have a penitential aspect because there is a partial abstinence that day and there's fasting. Now, why does the church do that? Do you think why a week before Christmas or a few weeks before Christmas or in the middle of summer, Pentecost week? Why have times of penance? And one of the reasons is because no matter how joyful it is in the midst of our liturgical celebrations, there's always a reminder for us, or in preparation for that great feast, to remember where we came from, why we are Catholics, why our Lord redeemed us, because of our sins, our mistakes, our malice. So we can never do enough penance, but it isn't that difficult. If you're able to come to Mass on those days, follow the laws of fast and abstinence, if you're able to. They're not mandatory, but it's a good practice. So those are the Ember Days. Incidentally, they are so sacred that Ember Saturday is the one of the primary days for ordinations to the priesthood. Now we will have this week, starting today, the O antiphons. They're called that because they are the Magnificat antiphon, the little prayer that is sung before the Magnificat at Vespers from today to December 23rd. And each one of those antiphons begins with the word O, an exclamation, with a title referring to our Lord. O Adonai, O Emmanuel, all preparations for us to increase our faith in Jesus Christ, but also in his coming into the world, which we will liturgically renew in little over a week. So you've seen it on the schedule and on the announcements. But next Sunday is Christmas Eve, so there's no fourth Sunday of Advent. And it'll be the regular Sunday schedule, the early low mass at 7:30 a.m. for those special needs. Confessions will be heard before and after mass. And that is the before and after the low mass at 9 a.m. And if everything goes all right, we'll have benediction that evening, this Christmas Eve. Incidentally, if you notice, we only had one priest here in confessions today, because when you're that sick, you do not try to, unless it's like an absolute emergency, you do not try to extend yourself, because you're just going to get worse and make it harder for everybody. So one of the priests who was assigned there is recovering. So next Sunday night is the midnight solemn mass at midnight. Chapel opens at 11 p.m. And then next Monday, December 25th, is Christmas Day. The low mass for special needs will be at 8 a.m. Chapel opens at 7:30. And then the high mass, Christmas Day, 10 a.m., and benediction, 6 p.m. I looked at the forecast, and it looks like it's going to be snowing next Saturday, Sunday, maybe Christmas. So just remember what Father said. If it's dangerous, don't come. Be prudent. Don't take chances. But if you're able to come on Christmas, obviously that's a very important day. You may not know this, but let's see, it was 41 years ago when we, on the feast of St. Nicholas, December 6th, that we moved to this location. There was no chapel. It was a very humble ranch house built in the 1960s. Needed extensive remodeling. But a few weeks after we moved here, it was Christmas, and there was the biggest blizzard, one of the biggest ever, 10, 12 feet of snow, and nobody could come to Mass. We had the Christmas Mass in our basement, very humble, in a storage room, because that's the only place we had for an altar to set it up. So we're grateful for all the gifts we received, but the point is, never take a chance, because I remember that storm. Four or five people died being imprudent. So that's for next week. And then today, as our custom, is the bake sale in the hall after Mass. So I presume you've already brought your favorite baked goods, and make sure they have the price on them. Sometimes that's forgotten. And we also ask that if you are generous, that you help assist us, meaning do it, clean the hall after the bake sale. Christmas offering envelopes are available in the vestibule. And they'll be the last adult catechism class this Tuesday, December 19th, the last one before Christmas. So we are covering the sacraments of penance and the Holy Eucharist. And that will be, again, at 5:30 Tuesday in the hall, and then also online. And then next Saturday and Sunday will be the final opportunity to receive the sacrament of penance before Christmas. And there is only one feast this week which we want to speak about, and that is the feast of the great St. Thomas the Apostle. He is, as you, if you know your scripture, he's called the Doubting Thomas. His name, Tomas, means, it comes from the Greek, it means twin. So he probably had a twin brother or sister. But anyway, he has the privilege of his quote being immortalized in the Holy Mass by for the faithful for all time, millions of masses, because of his words he said to our Lord. You may recall on Easter Sunday evening, our Lord appeared to the apostles. He had a glorified body, so he passed through the wall of the upper room. And the apostles were in hiding. They were afraid that they were going to be arrested, tortured, and crucified like our Lord. But they had heard rumors and even words from St. Mary Magdalene and the holy women that our Lord had risen from the dead. But they were doubting. They were unsure. Our Lord appeared to them and said, "Peace be to you," pax vobis. And they were amazed to see the risen Christ in their midst. And as we've said, but it's worth mentioning again, that is the day, that is the evening that our Lord instituted the sacrament of penance. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. I've never heard a Protestant try to explain that. But regarding St. Thomas, he happened to be out, maybe doing errands, maybe getting food for the apostles, the other apostles. So he shows up after our Lord leaves, and they said, "We have seen the Lord." And St. Thomas would not believe them. It seems unbelievable that that would happen, but that is because of the weakness and the hardness of heart of the apostles, even after all of the 3 years of instruction and seeing of miracles and preaching by our Lord and corrections from our Lord, and they still had doubts. So St. Thomas said that he did not believe. He wanted to put his finger into our Lord's side and into our Lord's hands. "Unless I do that, I'm not going to believe." So a week later, Low Sunday comes, and our Lord appears to them in the same way, pax vobis. And then he turns to St. Thomas and said, "Come over, St. Thomas, come over. Take your hand and put it into my hands and into my side." And remember, it wasn't just a wound or a scar. It was an open wound, which our Lord has to this day. And he put his finger into his hand, into the hole in his wrist or his hand. And he put his hand into our Lord's side. Now, what do you think he felt? There could be no doubt it was our Lord's beating sacred heart. And our Lord says, "Be not unbelieving, but believing." Those are words for all of us. Those are words for every human being who's ever lived, especially those since our Lord was on the earth. Stop not believing, but believe in Jesus Christ. Say your act of faith. Because it takes a grace from God to actually say the act of faith and to mean it. So you say, I believe everything the church teaches. Because, oh God, you can't lie, and nobody can lie to you. And the famous words of St. Thomas, he said, kneeling down maybe on his face, he said to our Lord, my Lord and my God. And those are the words that the church has immortalized, as we said, for every Catholic to say at the elevation during the consecration when the priest lifts the host, and you see the host. And when he elevates the chalice, and you see the chalice, but the precious blood under the appearances of wine is exalted. And to repeat what our Father Superior said, and to correct the mistakes of, I think mainly nuns of earlier years, we learned in Catholic school, when you see the host at the, and its elevation of the host and the chalice, you bow down and you strike your breast out of humility. Okay, that is incorrect. The whole point of that rubric being added by the church was for the Catholics to see the body and blood of Jesus Christ, because it's after the consecration. And it was added in the year about 1050 by the Pope. And you know why he did that? There was a priest, a theologian, who said, I really don't believe in the physical, real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. It's more of a spiritual thing. Does that sound familiar? Because that's what a lot of Protestants think. As the book of Ecclesiasticus says, there's nothing new under the sun. Protestants are just rehashing old heresies from 500 years before them. So the devil tempts them with the old lies. And this priest, Benengarius was his name, he was summoned before councils, before theologians, before the Pope, to recant his error. And he wouldn't do it. He was given many chances. He's stubborn. And that's one of the warnings, we could say, for all of us. Beware of being stubborn and willful. That was the sin of the Hebrews, the Jews. Saint Stephen, the proto-martyr, he rebuked them when he was arrested by them because they're stiff-necked and stubborn. They don't want to submit to Jesus Christ and to his revelation. So Benengarius was punished. We don't know the exact details of his being excommunicated for his errors. You can only be excommunicated, by the way, if you do something wrong or believe something contrary to Catholic faith. Just so you know. A modernist cannot excommunicate a true Catholic. That's a big lie if they do that. So what the Pope did after this error of Benengarius, because it was spreading, people are easily led astray, he instituted the elevations, two elevations after the consecration, so the people could see the host and see the precious blood, see the body of Christ, see the blood of Christ, make an act of faith, and to say, my Lord and my God, while looking at that. at what they see. Because that's what St. Thomas did. And Pope St. Pius X, about 120 years ago, made it, you get special indulgences. You can even get a plenary indulgence by saying, "My Lord and my God," at the two elevations. And that means that you receive communion, sacrament of penance, and Holy Communion within 8 days before and after gaining that indulgence. So that means all your temporal punishment due to sins are removed by plenary indulgence. St. Thomas, it's believed, and it is actually a fact, after our Lord ascended into heaven, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the apostles went all over, were sent, most likely by the directions of St. Peter, to all the known world. And St. Thomas was given the mission to go to what is modern-day India. And it says he reached the state of Kerala, Indian, which is the name today, in the year 52, and converted several people, founding what today are known as St. Thomas Christians. And when he died, his relics were moved in different areas to protect them. And it is believed in the early centuries, maybe a few hundred years after St. Thomas died, someplace in maybe eastern India, we don't know the exact place, his relics were hidden to keep them safe. And you know who was guarding them? A Muslim. He had reverence for the relics of St. Thomas. Maybe he was given a grace to protect this holy saint. Maybe it led to his conversion. But in 1258, part of his relics, and it's believed really it's his body, were brought to Ortona in Abruzzo, Italy, where they have been held in the Church of St. Thomas Apostle. And that's where we had, some of us, and I had the privilege of seeing it. In 1989, we visited that chapel, and when we got to the town, because it's just there was no GPS, there was no Google Maps, there was none of that back then, so you just had to use maps and talk to whoever you could see in the town. Where do you go to find the body of St. Thomas? And it was like 6 or 7 at night. It's already dark. And they said, right here. And we went into the church, very old church, and in the crypt below, you walk in, and then the candles lit, and there's the body of St. Thomas, the apostle. Just a very moving event, because all you can do is kneel down and pray. Have reverence for this person who doubted Christ, and now he is in heaven. And he doesn't need to have faith because he sees God. He's with his Savior, and he is an example for all of us. So that is all of the announcements and the story of our saint for this week. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he said, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said Isaiah the prophet." And they who had been sent were among the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there is one stood whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." These things took place at Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This day, Gaudete Sunday, is a time for us to, as you've heard before, to have a mitigated but a real joy in being a Catholic. The vestments the priest wears are rose. The altar is adorned with a rose antependium, a tabernacle veil, the silk roses on the altar. Even our Lord, the infant Jesus of Prague, has a rose cape. That we should not be troubled, nervous, have anxiety, don't be anxious. These are the words of the Holy Ghost to St. Paul for all of us. Because he says, "The Lord is near, have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God." In the adult class last Tuesday, we told some stories, but one in particular about how God answers the prayers of those who have faith, and especially when it's a group of people, when you're all praying for the same intention. And the story, we will not recount it, but it's one of you who was very sick, and by the prayers and the masses of so many of you, this person is much better and very well, almost miraculous. That's why when you have sufferings, what do you do with them? You don't try to cast them off. God has sent that to you as a daily cross for that day. Maybe it's one that you have to endure for several days, such as sickness, or for months or even years, just the state of affairs in your life, or you work, or even in the country. But we have our command from God. Do not have anxiety. God has everything in hand. But make your petitions known to God, and you will receive an answer and a gift. And it may not be the answer you wanted, you thought you should have. Maybe it's something more perfect. In fact, God knows what you need. He knows all things. He wants to help, but he wants us to also be part of it, to help ourselves. But he gives us, as you know, but as a good reminder, he gives us the grace to pray for something he already knows we need. Because we are children. We're infants. God is our Father, and we need help. We need to be led, instructed, just like parents with children. That's the whole point of our baptism, to become children of God. And as we just read, when we make our petitions known to God, then God gives us his peace. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the exact same peace that's referred to in the Christmas Mass. The words of the angels, peace on earth to men of goodwill. That is the actual translation of the words, not goodwill towards men. That's a mistranslation deliberately made so. It's peace on earth to men, to people who have a goodwill, who are sincere, who want to follow God's will. Now these days, these few more days before Christmas, are our preparation. So that when Christmas Day comes, we have the right dispositions. So all the grace is given at the midnight Mass, the Mass at dawn, and at the Mass of the day, whichever one you attend. Sometimes people go to the midnight Mass and the day Mass. But then your hearts, your souls are ready to receive them. It's not just going to Mass to fulfill an obligation. The old saying, God loves a cheerful giver. Of course you get benefits for assisting at Mass and praying. But how much more perfect it is to do it because you want to do it. And you think, I'm not worthy to be here. But it's only by the grace of God. I'm at this chapel, I can assist at Mass, and by the grace of God, I can believe what our Lord has taught us. And I can believe in the Holy Eucharist. And you thank God with all humility. We think of the people who are taking this adult class online, and they significantly outnumber those who come in person. So it's maybe 15 to 20, because some people watching on the internet, there's more than one person there. And they have such enthusiasm. They're so interested. Some are in states, some are across the country, and they are just so grateful that somebody, some priest cares to teach them the catechism. Think of this couple, married couple, I think they're in their 60s in Illinois. And they said, we're so looking forward to finishing and learning the faith so we can come to Colorado and get baptized. That's their goal. So they can go home and practice their faith. Probably they'll just continue watching the masses online because that's all they have. But they're so grateful for it. And when I hear those stories, at least for me, I think, I am grateful to be here. To be able to offer the Mass. To pray. Because there are so many people, so many souls who I'm sure are far more worthy and better people than I am. But they don't have these spiritual gifts. Our special patron, you know, you've heard it from the other priests, but just to review it, because Advent is shortened this year since Christmas Eve falls on Sunday. Our patrons of Advent, Isaias the prophet, St. John the Baptist, and of course the Blessed Virgin Mary. They're called patrons because they give us assistance. They inspire us. Isaiah, his prophecy, his book in the Old Testament, is sometimes called the fifth gospel because it has so many references to our Lord. And to the Blessed Virgin Mary about his infancy and how he grew up and especially his passion and death. And of course, this gospel is all about the people of our Lord, his own people, the Jewish people, how they wanted to find out who this special man was, this great preacher, St. John the Baptist. Because he just appeared on the scene out of the desert and started preaching about repentance and about the coming of the Messiah. And whether they were pagans, enemies of our Lord, Jews, Gentiles, everybody knew to some degree that there is a coming of a personage, someone from heaven, maybe God himself, who's to save the world. It had been preached about by the prophets in the Old Testament, and there were some copies of the books of the Old Testament, but mostly is word of mouth. So people knew. People were searching. People were wondering. And when St. John the Baptist appears, he looks and talks like Elias the prophet. He's dressed like Elias, and that's why they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." Because they knew what has always been believed, that Elias never died. He went up into heaven in a fiery chariot, so they thought he had come back, as it is foretold. And they rightly thought that, because it is believed he'll come at the end of time, along with Enoch, to preach to the Jews and to the Gentiles. But this was the first coming of Christ. Now, of course, when this gospel, this account, our Lord is already a man. He's about to start his public life. So why is that put in the gospel for the third Sunday of Advent, when our Lord, liturgically speaking, is not born into the world yet? And that's where, as humans, we have to think, try to think the way God thinks, in a providential overview. Because when you look at creation and humanity and what's to happen to mankind, you think there's only one way to be one with God, and that is he has to come and save us. And he has decided to make it in two parts: the first coming in his nativity, and then the second coming at the end of time. The first in humility and helplessness as an infant to draw us to him. And that is the devotion related in a great degree of the infant Jesus of Prague, how people are attracted to his kingship as a young boy. Untold favors have been given through that image, the original and all over the world. If you have any need, you turn to Jesus Christ, and it is believed, along with the Holy Rosary, of course, that that devotion to the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague is for our times. That's why our Father Superior put it on the program for his 50th anniversary, because of the many favors he received. And he attributes it to the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague. It's a little lesson for all of us. But St. John the Baptist baptized with water, but it was a baptism of repentance. It was a sort of a precursor, a preparation before the institution of the sacraments by our Lord, sort of combining baptism and penance. Because St. John was so convincing in his sermons that Jews and Gentiles, many of them were just converted instantly, and they realized, I have to be sorry for my sins. And they would publicly confess them. How important it is to say I'm sorry. Saying I'm sorry to God and to your neighbor. About 3 weeks ago, there was a salesman that came here. He works for a local business machine company, and they handle our printers that we lease from them. Because I found out decades ago that it's cheaper if you're doing commercial printing to lease than to buy. Anyway, he came here and he just to restructure our contract to save us hundreds of dollars. I thought, well, this is good. Excellent. He was a veteran in the Air Force in Iraq and Afghanistan. Then he got into law enforcement. So he's seemed a very sincere man, like in his 40s. So we're talking to him, along with the manager of the company. And he said, well, can I just see your church? Can I see your chapel? Because I think I'd like to see that. So we come to the back, the vestibule, and he looks in, and he says, this is beautiful. He says, and where do you confess your sins? Because he heard about what Catholics do. I said, right here, here are the confessionals. And he's so fascinated to see. He says, and are these images of the Blessed Mother? I said, no, these are saints, and here's the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was so beautiful to see this tough guy, kind of a big guy, and he's not fooled by the propaganda of the world, I'll just put it that way. But to see his sincerity, just wanting to know about God and the church and the sacraments, I said, here's our business card, and then I gave him a calendar. And he's so grateful to have that, to start him on his path. The other story we have to tell you is about a young man who is about 16. And he came here about a year ago to help us in the evening with the evening meal, helped with the cleanup. And his big thing in high school was soccer. He was on the school team and then a club team, and they go all over the country and around the world playing soccer. And he did a good job, and he was sincere, and as father does, you know how father is, he said, you know, I'd like to give you a gift. Because it turns out he was baptized a Catholic, never practiced, but he was from Russia and he was adopted. So Father, the next night, brought in and gave him the miraculous medal. Now he can't be enrolled in it until he makes his first Holy Communion, but Father blessed it and gave it to him. And then a few months later, and this is about a year ago, as I said, he had some other issues and circumstances, so he had to stop working here. And then all of a sudden, about a week ago, we were looking for another position, and he found this person that wanted to work here on Facebook and said, I know Servants Holy Family, that's a great place, you should work there. And he was so convinced by his words, he came here and he wants to start working again. So he came the other night and doing dishes and cleaning up, and that's fine. But the beautiful story is, he said, I have something to tell all of you, and I want to wait till you're all in the dining room, in the refectory. I have stories to tell you. Now he's 17. And he started a car detailing business of his own, mobile, and he's very successful at it. In fact, too successful. He has to hire people. He's not even 18 yet. He can't start his own business legally. But he came in and stood in the middle of the dining room and wanted to tell all the priests and the seminarians, I have to tell you that this medal that he's wearing, the gold miraculous medal, I have lost it more than once. I was visiting my friend in Falcon, and it fell off, and I lost it for 3 months. It was gone because he cherished it. And one time he was visiting a friend again, and they were walking in the street, and the medal with the chain was right in the middle of the street, not scratched, perfect condition, and he had his medal back. And he was so grateful. And we said, the Blessed Mother wants you to follow through, to learn about her. He says, I see that. I'm trying and I'm learning. I now do believe in God because one of the seminarians talked to me about him, that there has to be a creator of the universe. So Father Ward asked us last night, give him the catechism, give him the Baltimore III catechism, so he can read it and start his lessons. He needs to read it. So we went to him in the kitchen and said, here's a book from Father. Start reading it. If you have any questions, you can talk to us. And he says, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, why do we tell you that story? Very simple story. Because the Blessed Virgin Mary is not going to let her children be lost if they're sincere. He's a very sincere person. And you know what? He realized he has to give up soccer. He gave it up. I don't like, he said, the friends and the boys are on the team. I don't like the way they are. I'm not going to be part of it. And see, what we're supposed to learn is that all of you are ahead of him. You already know the catechism. You've been enrolled in the miraculous medal. You already have her protection. But of course, let's not waste it. Because as it says in the Mass today, the Lord is near. People of Sion, behold, the Lord shall come to save the nations, and the Lord shall make the glory of his voice to be heard in the joy of your heart. So whatever that's in our lives that is impeding us, that's blocking us from being really fervent, what it comes down to, from being saints, we have to rip it out. We have to be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. And that means, of course, at the second coming, but how about when we all depart this world? We have to face our Maker. How about the coming of Jesus Christ when you receive him in the Holy Eucharist? You have to be prepared to the best of your ability. It's not just a mere custom to receive Holy Communion. You're receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ that's denied to so many. And here at this chapel, you know 100,000,000% that it's a correct Mass, correct sacraments, correct doctrine, all by the grace of God. Thank you, God, thank you. And when you have those intentions and you have that in your heart to be prepared, then God will give you the grace. And you do it today, and then you do it the next day, because as you know, it's a daily struggle. But the last thing we'll say is that these saints on the walls, these great saints, they're literally on a pedestal, right? On a shelf above us. But there are people just like the rest of us. Some big sinners, some mediocre or whatever, but they didn't waste what God gave them. And in their own world, circumstances, with their crosses, they became heroic, at least in one virtue, and that's why they became saints. So pray to the Blessed Mother, pray to St. John the Baptist, pray to St. Thomas the Apostle, to help you to increase your faith, but to be prepared to help have a most perfect Christmas, and the one that will remove any anxiety, stress, and have peace in your souls. May God bless you.